evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It's 7/2/2020. And, oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what. It just rolls on and on and on. And I do not think that this thing will abate. I do not think that it will. Now, on the one hand, we had good news about 4.8 million jobs being created. But when you see that, when you see that right there, that was from the reopening. And then the fact of the matter is that now they're closing, and those jobs are going through the 12th of June. Now, that's an excellent thing to see that this economy was starting to roll and boom, just like President Trump said it would. But my point is this, somehow or another, they're either reintroducing through infectons or something, or a combination of a number of different things. The fact is that apparently when they test for antibodies of a quote-unquote coronavirus, that they may be in fact picking up some of the common cold. People who have had a cold would test for a coronavirus. Okay. So, also the fact that they're not apparently differentiating between a brand new case where somebody has just got it and just got the case, or somebody who's had it. So they're not differentiating between somebody who's had it in the past as antibodies or somebody who's got it currently with symptoms and is currently, got the virus. So they may be double counting different things and what have you. But all that doesn't make any difference, because I'm going to tell you, they are probably going to release another, some sort of a bug or plague on us. I've been telling you about the other shoe ready to drop. And particularly since the economy was starting to do well, those in the quote-unquote deep state, what I would rather call it is those who are Luciferian-oriented, who are doing everything in their power to bring down the United States, to take Trump out, to return it, and to put it into a new world order so that Lucifer can steal souls as they destroy the population in this country and around the world, particularly in what I would call Western nations. Now, if you look at what's going on, somebody hurried up, and the outbreak, quote unquote, the outbreak became really prominent in red states. Alright, red states, supposedly red states, which I think that's an interesting thing. It's sort of like the rainbow being co-opted, the beautiful rainbow of our Lord, of our Father in heaven, you know, that a rainbow that signified, you know. After the flood, that things were going to be all right. It was a good indicator. It's always been a good indicator to then have that co-opted by the XYZ45739HBG2Q576. You know, doxy croxy boxies, okay? It's just like that, in a sense. Have it co-opted, language co-opted. And, you know, I was talking to you about the fact the other night about Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and I was reading to you the different things out of his tactics and the different rules they have and all of that. And one of the things I was telling you about, you've got to keep a constant pressure on the opposition, okay? And the fact is, he also talks about in this area and in these chapters, is that you have to make allies of the quote-unquote the middle class. And it's through these allies. And then in his writing and everything, you hear this word, You hear these words they're calling them, them conversation. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a discussion. But you see, the discussion and the conversation all get basically wrapped up into one thing. And it seems oh so reasonable, and all these people just want to have a conversation or a discussion. But when you look at the conversation and discussion, it's only skewed the one way of the communists, the Luciferian demon commie rats. It's only skewed the one way, which is basically reparations for blacks, for African Americans, destruction of what is there in terms of Western civilization. George Washington is bad, Thomas Jefferson bad, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, you know. If you want to do that, New York Times, basically New York Times should understand that they're sitting on Native American ground. And then it goes back and back and back. You have to then go into which group of Native Americans own the ground. And then you have to understand that somewhere some of them came from. And then you also have to understand that some of them, the ancient people, that there were also giants that may have owned it at one time, you see. But then other people fought the giants. You see this thing going back and back and back and back and back. If you look at Europe and what's going on, you look at the year zero and you see Red China, the Chinese, attack westward and start driving people that were right on the border with China, driving them westward, who then they drive the people that they're advancing to get away from the Chinese. They then have to fight the next group of people, and depending on whether they win or not, then they go west and west and west. And finally, you get all this group of people pushed clear out to the Atlantic Ocean. So who owns what land and when and all of that? That's been decided in a lot of cases by war. By war, all right? And fighting for ground and whatever. Now in the modern era, there are no necessarily purity of, you know, property ownership, or do we in fact ever own the property, you see? But in today's modern era, there are laws, there are ownership property. Private property is a reality. So if you're going to have people bust down gates in St. Louis, a big iron gate, and bust it down, and go on to private property, the entire street, I know that street. I remember when those lawyers in St. Louis redid that house. It was a beautiful reduction or rehab of that old mansion in St. Louis. And they go into that area, bust it down, and start to threaten all the stuff. I'm just wondering if I'd have been there, if I wouldn't have shot about 15 of them, you know, and dumped them on the ground. Because it comes down to this at a certain point, doesn't it? It comes down to the fact that they're not about a guy that got killed by a bad cop in Minneapolis, all right? By Chauvin and his crew. You know, I went into all of that, that they knew each other and that Chauvin had to kill that guy no matter what. And all of that's been forgotten about now. That's so far down the thing, but it's just a few weeks ago. Nehemiah chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we buildeth the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they then make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? To Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. And turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for the prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together. And under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah, and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem, and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them, day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews were stopped by them, came, they said unto us 10 times from all places, whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families, with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, everyone unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. And they which builded on the wall, and they which that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. Probably social distancing, huh? And in what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. And likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which follow me, none of us put off our clothes, saving what every one put them off for washing. So let me just reread this one more time. Therefore I set in the lower places behind the wall. And on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. This is Nehemiah 4, by the way. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, we're at that point. It's kind of interesting in that we're building the wall. Trump was building the wall. We're building back America after it was destroyed and all of the jobs and the manufacturing and everything taken out of it by the Luciferian New World Order scumbags. You understand when all of these Bushite Republicans now want to reelect Biden? Because you see, they're not Republicans. They don't work for the United States. What they work for is Lucifer. They're working for Lucifer in the New World Order and his 1,000 points of light and all that baloney. You got a guy who is barely able to stand up, barely able to put words together without some kind of a, you know, tranquilizer or drug or whatever. And all of a sudden, he's being touted as the great savior, and the man tells you he's going to back to where they were to restore America to a place of prominence. At the same time, he's going to put on more of the regulations that President Trump has taken off that allowed with the tax cuts, businesses to boom. Now, I will point out one thing, that initially, President Trump in his tax bill, and you remember the guy in the House, Brady, from Texas, who originally in that bill, they wanted to guarantee that if they were going to repatriate those profits from China and from overseas, that they would have to bring the factories back inside the United States. All of that kind of got cut out of that bill initially. They allowed them to bring all that money back in, and it created a big thing. It created an economy. It created an economy where so many of the African Americans, so many Hispanic workers, so many women, so many Asians, everybody it was working and got a job, all right? And they were going to even bring more and more and more jobs back into the fray. And the amount of money people were making was going up. People, because they have 401ks or pension plans or a mutual fund, and it doesn't make any difference like they've got millions of dollars in a stock portfolio. Biden had no jack crap, because I'll tell you, a lot of people own stock because they have something at work with a mutual fund, all right? So while this country was being promoted and pushed for a change, and China was being fought and Russia was being fought, but you see, that didn't go along with Lucifer's New World Order. So they now have to come back out and reinfect the population. Now, I will point out this, too. Remember how I talked about Guo, the supposed alleged, you know, billionaire that fled China, came to the United States. Guo, G-U-O. And then he said that, you know, this is back months ago, said that they were probably going to milk this COVID-19 thing through June, and then probably in July, they would release a new virus, the Chinese would, into the United States. At the time, he said it would be a Hanta virus, H-A-N-T-A virus, which is a very deadly virus that has cropped up from time to time around the Four Corners area, you know, in the Southwest. And that's a more deadly virus. It's contained amongst the rats and the mice and all that kind of stuff, and it's more rare. But it doesn't have to be that. He said it thought it might be. But now, isn't it interesting that we have a new virus? Apparently aborting in China, which is a flu, an influenza virus, that is called G4. G4. I don't know if the G stands for Guo or who it, you know, or what it is. Fauci called it the G4 the other day. Now, apparently this G4 has components of the 1918 Spanish flu, which was deadly. And killed what? 100 million, 150 million, whatever the total was worldwide. And you recall, I remember, just sure as I'm sitting here, back in the 90s, that some bright lab people, probably some of Fauci's buddies, quote unquote, possibly, allegedly some of Fauci's buddies, went to the Yukon, or somewhere in Alaska or Canada up in the gold mining permafrost areas and dug the grave up where somebody died of that Spanish flu, that 1918 flu. But the grave was, you know, supposedly, you know, in a permafrost deal or whatever. And they dug up that area, got the grave out, and they extracted tissue from the lungs that gave them the 1918 Spanish flu, quote unquote. And then they took that back to the lab, just in case it ever came back, you see. This is bioweapon research. This is Fauci giving $3.7 million to the Chinese scientists at the Wuhan lab. So somebody working for Lucifer is bringing a pestilence, allegedly bringing a pestilence upon the world. So when Fauci says they got a G4, and he says it's got part of the Spanish flu in 1918, which I believe was more like a hemorrhagic flu. It was a terrible flu. And then also has portions of the swine flu, the H1N1. Now people say, well, that didn't amount to much. And yes, we fought that. But had the H1N1 combined with a certain bird flu, you would get a hemorrhagic flu, something where you bleed out of every orifice. And the cytokine storm.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, they knocked me off the air again. They don't like when old Hawk is hit the nail right on the head. And you might think, well, this is so stupid. Why don't I go to anybody else? Because nobody is talking about it in this light. Nobody is talking about it in the cases, and also bringing up the factor of the Lord Jesus, that there's power in the blood of Jesus. So, you see, this G4, I was talking about the G4, and I don't know where I got knocked off. But this G4 that Fauci talked about had the 1918 flu component and an H1N1 swine flu component. And incidentally, if you combine that swine flu with a certain bird flu, which they did not get done because we fought them back in the mid-2000s on it, 207, 208, whatever it was in there, 205. When we came against it, and there was a pandemic, a mini pandemic back then, and you recall when I talked to you back then about how there was a weird up in Canada in a, waterfowl preserve area, you know, like a natural preserve, where the geese and the ducks are all, like, you know, allowed to have a habitat without being hunted and all that, and how just so happened to be not far away, allegedly not far away from a Li family from China, that's L-I, Li family from China, research center in Calgary, Alberta. And then that particular year, that Li family hosted a world microbiology conference in China, talking about all of the different flus and all the different viruses and bioweapons and all the different stuff. But then, you see, I said that back in the 90s that somebody, some brilliant genius, probably allegedly from either NIH or from some drug company or maybe from USRM, AMRAD, in Fort Detrick or someplace, okay, went up to Alaska or the Canadian, gold mining areas, you know, Yukon up there and that stuff. And they dug up graves from the permafrost of people that died from 1918 flu, Spanish flu, and got in their lungs and took out the stuff that was preserved, and it was perfectly preserved. They had to take it back to the lab, you see, just in case it would ever emerge. Well, it sure emerged, you see. And then you've got to look at the very factor they call the Spanish flu, but it first appears in the soldiers returning from World War One out of Fort Riley in Junction City, Kansas. That's where they first start to see it. But worldwide, it's, you know, being seen, I guess, on the battlefield in France and different places, you know, back over there. But who started that flu? Where did that come out of, a German warfare lab? Out of Kaiser Willie? But then Kaiser Willie's cousin was Nicholas of Russia. And his other cousin, of course, was, Prince Albert of, of England? They were the three cousins. Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany, Tsar of Russia, Nicholas, and was it Albert or whatever it was, of England. And they were all cousins, you see. And they're all fighting the World War. Is that interesting? You know? It should be. And I read to you chapter 4 in Nehemiah. I would read that to your family tonight and tell them that we've got to be building and trying to do the best we can to move forward in America, to rebuild America, to restore it, to bring the jobs back, to create a future for our families, regardless of race, creed, or color, you see. and to put them to work and to build a future. But you see, that's not what's going to happen. Because the devil, Lucifer himself, has come down against it and wants to destroy the last bastion of hope for freedom on this planet is America. But be that as it may, read that Nehemiah 4 and you tell your family that this is the time to stand up to protect all of the family and to protect your homes, your rights, your whatever it is you're doing. This is the time. And let me tell you, and go back over, because I don't know where they cut me off, but the fact of the matter is, they're fiddling the can on all of the statistics on how many things of this virus and all this stuff. And you see, it's like, oh, it's so many 50,000 cases in 1 hour and 56 and 56 and that. On the other hand, some of this stuff is deadly. And people need to not be so filled with hubris and pride all the time either. They should try to take precautions not to get it. Unlike those in Tuscaloosa who are doing all they can to see who's going to be the first one to get the disease at the parties in Alabama. You better go get a gun and hide in the kudzu to that effect. To the admonition of Nehemiah 4. That you got to have one hand working on the wall and rebuilding the wall, the other hand holding a sword or your spear. To fight against those Arabians and Ammonites and all of the foul people to come against Jerusalem, you see. You see how it is working. And you see how the same evil is present today, just in different forms. I watched the other night, and if you go to National Geographic Channel, some of you have what they call the spectrum, the portal, the cable TV, or whatever you can go to it, or other people have different channels, you know, I don't know, the different ones, where you can go back and get all the different networks and to get their programs. And I watched L.A., Los Angeles, 92. I rewatched, and it was several hours of footage, much of the footage I'd seen, some of it I'd never had seen. It was large amounts of footage in Los Angeles and all the riots and the fires and all the stuff. Well, this is happening again, you see. The looting, all of it. Now, the fact of the matter is, I also saw they had a lot of footage of the Korean shop owners, which back then, if you watched the news and, you know, you were doing stuff, we didn't have the internet really back in then, so much, or any kind of thing like that. Of course, Al Gore invented it, you know. But the fact is, we weren't all on it like we are today, or, you know. And there was no Twitter, no Facebook, no none of the social networks, none of it. And I watched the Koreans who said, man, I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to allow our shops to be burned. And I remember seeing news footage where the news reporter's right there and huge mobs are just breaking in. And there's a Korean woman trying to block people from getting in her store. And she's yelling and screaming, this is America. Stop, stop. Leave me alone. This is my business. Don't destroy my business. And they push back her and go in and loot and do stuff. And all this kind of stuff, then they set these businesses on fire. One of them was a dry cleaning deal. And then people were stealing all the dry cleaning that was in the dry cleaners. And taking away in big tubs, you see, to steal the clothing. Well, then pretty soon the Koreatown guys, they got their guns out. And I can remember seeing in this news footage, which was briefly shown on TV, they didn't always show it as much. But this particular one, there was guys on the ropes, had rifles and pistols and shotguns. There were ones out in front of the businesses with handguns and shotguns and rifles. And let me tell you something. They weren't screwing around. They were laying these guys out on the ground. Anybody that was looting within their area, you know, even the next store over, whatever, it was pop, 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 pop. And they were laying them out. And meanwhile, you had the police backed off and were not allowed to respond initially after the Rodney King verdict. And it was bad. And it's bad again. Only this time they mean to do it and to take it all the way, Jose. You understand? I'm not being cute or anything. I just am making it rhyme a little bit. They're going to go all the way. Or attempt to. Now, I've got some hopeful things as well. You've got Sheriff Darrell Daniels down there in Clay County, Florida. I think it's in the northern part of Florida there. And he's African-American. But he's the sheriff of his county. And he's got white and black deputies and all different types of deputies. And he says that if the local police and if the sheriff, if these people are being overwhelmed by the BLM, the Black Lives Matter, and the Antifa, that he's going to deputize all lawful gun owners in that county against the BLM if they try to overwhelm the local police forces. So on the one hand, you see, there's starting to be a kickback, a pushback. And the more you do that, it fits in with the deal. And when you end up with civil war, but that may be what has to happen, you see, because the force is coming against America and against the Bill of Rights, against the Constitution, against your way of life, against Western civilization, are extremely well-funded. It's not necessarily a street thing. It goes down to the street, but its origins come from Lucifer. And you don't believe Lucifer is real, then heck with you, he's real. Right? And his minions at the top heads of government, military, the intelligence community, the same ones that are trying to attack Trump at every turn, the Poppy Bush crowd and all of that crowd and the Brennan crowd, the Muslim-loving crowd, the Brennan is a Muslim, you see. All of this stuff come with Lucifer against the United States, which is the last hope of this planet for freedom. And they bring a tyranny with them. So you don't want to go into their night, you know, Lucifer night without a fight, right? That old hawk says that, don't he? That old crazy hawk. Stand for the Lord Jesus. Stand for your family. Protect your family. The husbands, you know, a lot of wives are going to protect the husbands because they're out golfing. And then a lot of us are going to protect the wives, too. And then they're all going to protect the children and their homes. You don't have to give it all up and let them burn it down. Nor do you have to then become enslaved yourselves and give all your money to somebody else or to give it to Joe Biden as he takes it all in taxes. But I'm going to tell you what, as stupid as it sounds, he could win. Trump is behind, in case you're not looking, and that's the fact. And there is a lot of time between now and then, but there's a whole lot of people just saying, well, there's no way old Sleepy Joseph win. He's just a crazy man. Well, a lot of goofier people before won as president, too, haven't they? And now you have a culture where you even have Princeton. Throw out their head guy, a former Woodrow Wilson, head of Princeton, who was the guy that created all of the foreign policy stuff and is behind the United Nations, was involved with that, or the League of Nations, all of that crap. World War One, the war, the Great War, you see. The war to end all wars. And then we had World War Two, you know. And don't you see, San Francisco was involved in that. And it's the same groups. And then the same people who want to tear down George Washington or any kind of Confederate statue or any kind of statue where somebody even thought they were racist, like John Wayne had one or two interviews. And incidentally, has there been anybody in the African-American community ever talked about a cracker or a honky? Well, if you ever talk about a cracker or a honky, or about some white, you know what, mopo or white biatch or whatever you're talking about, if you ever talk about like that, well, then you should lose your statue too, you see. All of this stuff is filled with hypocrisy and craziness, but it is all emanating from the chaos merchant, from the biggest liar that comes from Lucifer on down. Now, at the same time, there are abuses and have been abuses against black people and against others, certainly against Native Americans, certainly against Asians in cases. If you go back during Roosevelt's era, the great Roosevelt, the socialist president of the United States, you know, World War II, Franklin Delano. Well, if you look into his thing, the Roosevelt family held the rights to sell and manufacture under the Queen of England, her permits and her royal warrants and stuff, they had the first items to be able to sell morphine. Okay? And heroin. That's the Roosevelt family. The Delano family, allegedly, were some of the biggest opium traders on the planet. So when you start to scratch into all of this stuff, and you start to, like, scratch into the Arbusto, the Bush clan, or even W. Bush's ties to Salim bin Laden and Osama bin Laden, where they were in partners with him in Arbusto Energy in West Texas. Or if you go and you look in the Khun Sa in the Shan states in the Golden Triangle, you know, at the top of the Golden Triangle. And I remember Bo Greitz telling me and sitting and talking and also hearing him on the radio for a number of years and how he talked about how he and Navy SEAL Scott Weekly left out of Thailand and they went up to see Old Khun Sa with an Italian film crew. And of course, by the time they were riding them little horses up the hill with the stirrups were backward because the hill goes up so high at a steep angle, your feet would fall out of your stirrups. You had to have backward stirrups that protected the heel, not the toe. So by the time they get up there, Old Khun Sa had an army of about 200,000, 120,000 to 200,000, all with real nice M16s and all kind of good equipment and all uniformed up. And, of course, he's the one that brought all the heroin, you know, from the opium. Number four Tiger. You guys from Vietnam know that, I'm sure. And he brought that stuff, and that was just disposed all over the world. You go into Afghanistan, you got opium. You go into the Middle East, you go into the Lebanon, you got hashish, okay? You go into Turkey and every place, you got opium. It's all a large portion of it about all of this business and this evil worldwide. There's nothing new under the sun, but we're coming back around in the deal, and I'm going to tell you, it's getting to be cutting time. It's getting to be fighting time, and you better stand up for your family. If you do not own a firearm, a lot of people bought a firearm in the month of June. I think somewhere like about the previous record, I think, was in March or something, was about 4 million or something like that. People bought a firearm, the FBI checks. back in March, I guess 3.5 or 3.6 million in June bought a firearm. All right? That's a way of voting. If you do not own a rifle or a shotgun or a pistol or a revolver or all of them, okay, then if, as you're able and allowed by the Lord, and if you have the money to do it, then you should go buy one as soon as possible. Go buy one tonight, tomorrow, whatever. And get whatever you get as much ammunition, get 1,000 rounds of ammunition for whatever you buy. Or if you're getting all three, if you're getting a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol, or a rifle, shotgun, and a revolver, then, you know, get 200-300 rounds of each, 250 rounds of each type, or 300 rounds of each type to start. If you can. If not, get however much you can for that particular weapon. And what is that weapon for? That is to defend your house, to push back when the bad stuff comes, and the bad stuff is going to come. This is civil war. It's just like Tom Chittum, C-H-I-T-T-U-M, Thomas W. His book, Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America. Civil War II isn't just a nightmare anymore, he said. Social, political, economic forces are pulling America apart and driving her toward a bloody war that may fracture the nation into several different countries, dividing along ethnic lines, riots, gangs, militias, exploding crime rates, mass immigration, rising unemployment, falling wages. These are all factors that will fuel the fires of war. I would add in the COVID-19 and whatever else will come in. The G4, and if this G4 comes and it's got part of swine flu and part of the 1918 flu, let's throw something else in there, this bird flu that they played with up there. I think it was not that far from Lethbridge in Canada, you know, and not that far from Calgary. It was in Alberta, whatever they played with there, and then they're playing with it over in China again, obviously, and then probably Fauci probably slips them another 3.7 million NIH money through the backside, you know? Who knows? But that was documented. I even talked to a dentist here recently in this area here. And they said, they say Fauci gave 3.7 million. They said, hell, a lot of people think he created this stuff. And that he's the one that was working with them to work on grafting the HIV virus onto it. And then you go back into the Gulf War, and the people found Dr. Garth Nicholson, and I did talk to Garth Nicholson, person to person, out here in Missouri one time, at a Mid-American Constitution Convention, because he was a speaker, but you could talk to the people in their own booths. They usually had a booth. And he said, man, I found that, you know, that in this Gulf War illness, that in a lot of cases, there was up to 40% of the genetic envelope of the HIV virus, and that there were also transmissible cancers and all kind of different stuff, you see. And then when they started to work upon it, and he was head of MD Anderson Cancer Center down in Texas at the time, until he was taken out, allegedly, by W. Bush's, Texas Rangers took him out of the office down there, apparently made him leave, okay, and they fired him. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this stuff is not good, and it's going to go on and keep going on. And Lord Jesus told you about it in Matthew 24, and then he gave you a prescription in also Luke 21 and other places. But he gave you a prescription of preparedness in Matthew 25. read Matthew 24 in the King James Version tonight, and then read Matthew 25, Luke 21, and then go back and read Revelations, and you might just also go to Nehemiah chapter 4, which is what I read to you tonight. You want to keep Old Hawk in the game, and I hope you do, because I apparently keep hitting the nail on the head, and my guy from the satellite uplink, you know, I'm sitting here doing my show, and I'm still on the computer, but apparently they knocked me off the satellite. So now I'm doing this by the little phone. And you know why they do that? What they want to do is to make it look like I'm a goofy nut. And, well, we can't listen to him anyway, so let's not listen to him. We'll just listen to somebody else and never knock him off the air. Brother Quill got knocked off the air many, many times. I remember one time Steve was sitting in his, told me he was sitting in his home. And at that time he lived in a different home, but it was closer to the mountains there. And all of a sudden, you remember when Steve was sitting there and he, the T1 line, the T1 big line coming into his house that he had paid for so he could broadcast. It was totally fried, and that the electricity came into the console and blew up in his face and almost electrocuted him. So I've continued on with what Brother Quail gave to me when he brought me onto the air to take back over the program for the two nights that we that he had still did. And we try to keep it as best we could, obedient to the Lord Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. So if you want to keep Old Hawk on the air, and I hope you do, may the Lord return it to you 10,000-fold. Anything can be sent, better reserve note, metal, silver, a little bit of silver or something, gold, check money, or send it to Hawk. 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208, Hawk. 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. May the Lord bless you with protection and superabundance and all things that are needed and wanted on your behalf. And you see, Brother Quail has been telling you this for so many years in his books and his videos, DVDs on the cataclysms and on ancient and future cataclysms, and also on the you know, on what's going to go on out in the Pacific Northwest, Cascadia. And if you don't have that, or if you don't have, like, his books on the giants, you want your kids to get interested in something that's Genesis 6, the Bible, that would give them an area to study, you get them Brother Quail's Genesis 6, you get them the giants book, and show them that material to blow their mind. You want to encourage somebody a little older, perhaps, get them on the Empire Beneath the Ice. Talking about how the Nazis took over. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, that History Channel thing, Hunting Hitler. You would think you ought to be able to buy all of those DVDs from those 3 years or, you know, 3 seasons. Well, the one's the United States version of it, the United States DVD version. Which the only ones that are available are the Australian version of the DVDs, which you cannot buy from History or anybody, and neither on eBay, any of the ones from the U.S. version of the DVDs. Because there was too much truth in all of that, you see. The truth came out about Hitler. And you start to understand all of that. They understand that there's a whole Luciferian deal that goes on this planet. And that anybody who stands for the Lord Jesus against it is immediately in deep trouble. All right. And then now they're talking about a COVID-19 version, you see, a mutation. Well, they've created a lot of these. And there was made mutations from the early on. And you remember, we've been talking about this since probably November, early December of last year, before it even made the big time. Because we knew that there was something up, and we were talking about the genetic structure and the genome of all of this stuff back before it even was published, and now it's back when they said, you know, a mask don't do any good, or a mask do not do some good. No, they don't. You know, N95s do. If you read the actual study on the stuff, the N95 respirator-type mask will help. They will help. The cloth mask, maybe not so much, all right? And there are negative implications for wearing it, yes. But that doesn't mean that you go willy-nilly up into the world. So in some ways it's a hoax, in others it's not. It's a confusion. In wartime, there is confusion. But let me tell you. If you have a mutation, you can't have a vaccine, can you? Because the vaccine ain't going to work. Remember outbreak with Dustin Hoffman and all that? You had Mataba 1 and Mataba 2. And the vaccine they had for Mataba didn't work for this new thing until they made it, right? Of course, you can't make it like they do in the movies. Don't go into the loose berry knife out of fight. Stand up for your family, your Bill of Rights. Stand up for the Lord Jesus. Mighty men and women of outer use your high technology. Strike blows against the Luciferians. Push back the Red Chinese and the Russians and the North Koreans and the Iranians. Zap them from on high with your ability and your spacecraft. Fandango Rangers, I know you're ready. And old Mickey Lapua, Mickey, keep your eye on the optics. And to my old buddies down there, my old young buddies.